I'm Jeremy Barron, and this is Colt Gennaro Chat, the only weekly English language podcast dedicated to Atletico Madrid and the official podcast of Into the Calderon, SB Nation's home for all things Atletico. My guest on this edition of Colt Gennaro Chat is Barca Blaugranas writer Renato Gonçalves. Renato Gonçalves is the guest on this edition of Colt Gennaro Chat. It's a Baronato episode, which means we're touching on just a little bit more than the viral topics in Atletico Madrid world. We'll be talking about El Clasico in this episode. Finished 2-2 last Sunday as Barcelona marched ever onward toward the first unbeaten season in league history. We'll also have some fun bantering about bad refereeing, blasts from the past, the law of X's, Hamilton. You name it, we're probably going to talk about it in this episode of Colt Gennaro Chat. However, please be advised, the sound quality is a little rough despite my best efforts to fix it up. Renato does sound a little staticky at times. Please forgive us for this. We hope you still enjoy the episode nonetheless. Another note about this episode while we're talking about it, seeing as it is a Baronato episode, we do not talk about Atletico Madrid exclusively, as you may have already gathered. For episodes more in that vein, please refer to my conversations with Rob Walker, Into the Calderon staff writer who appears on this program every Monday. If you continue from this point, however, know that you will enjoy this episode as much as we enjoyed making it, again, despite the not-so-great sound quality. Before we launch into this episode, though, make sure to subscribe and listen to Colt Gennaro Chat on your favorite podcasting platform. That includes Apple Podcasts. If you're on Apple Podcasts, please leave a rating and a review. Really helps us out, gets more eyes and ears on the program. Also, you can become a Colt Gennaro Chat amigo from as little as a dollar a month at patreon.com/ColtGenneroChat. You'll get access to our exclusive bonus pods, the rumor roundups, centered on the latest transfer speculation, and more, including Chinese Super League updates. patreon.com/ColtGenneroChat, and look for the Colt Gennaro Chat rumor roundup bonus pods. We'll be back with Renato Gonçalves after this.
For getting into the Europa League final.
Thank you.
That's a good game. I want to say it was like a heroic thing because they're against Arsenal. So Arsenal can beat teams even when they're down to 10 men. So that wasn't that surprising or impressive, but you did the job anyway.
Did the job.
So
yeah,
that's good.
It's a chance to make this season mean something. Make these last 9 months like actually mean something. But you mentioned the Europa League final, and I am indignant about something, Renato. I know this will surprise you, but I am indignant about something relating to the final next week. Bjorn Kuipers is going to be the referee, and Bjorn Kuipers, for those who don't know, is the man who basically stole the European Cup from Atletico in 2014. Yeah,
he's refereeing a Madrid final, so maybe he gets confused and actually gives you guys some calls. So who knows? But yeah, he's bad. It's like he's one of the worst. He's almost as bad as Hernandez, but not to that level. But he's bad.
So I bet you do want to talk about Hernandez. And the events in yesterday's Clasico.
Oh God, that was. I want to talk about the game first because bad refereeing in Spain is common, so it's not a big surprise. It had a big effect on the game, yes, but the game itself was pretty fun without the refereeing stuff. So we can get to that later, I think.
We can. Yes,
because if there were no mistakes at all, the game was still would have been entertaining as hell. It's just nuts. It was insane.
Yeah, we can talk about the Clasico, you know, for however long, but I'm sure you have seen this. It only came to my attention the other day, but I'm sure you have seen this as you write for Barca Blaugranas. The latest Arda Turan incident. Our former mutual friend, Arda Turan.
I actually haven't seen it. I heard it. I saw it quickly on Twitter, but I didn't have time to read the story.
Oh, goodness. So, he got ejected from a Turkish league game.
Okay.
For putting his hands on a referee.
And what does that mean?
Like, I'll send you the video, but like, he was debating some call. I think it was whether the ball, whether it went over the boundary or not, and he like tried to shake the referee, and he got immediately sent off.
Oh God! I thought it was punching because that wouldn't be surprising, but shaking the referee is quite a shock.
Yeah.
If you'd like punch the referee or throw a shoe at him, I wouldn't be surprised. But
yeah, this is a guy who has done that before.
Man, that dude is crazy.
Yeah.
I'm not surprised. I want to see the video, but I'm not surprised.
Honestly, I was expecting a little more. I was expecting him to like try to knock out the referee, but it was still, you know, satisfying, I suppose. It was still satisfying to see that.
What's not fun to watch is Arda Turan playing football, but going crazy at the referees. It's quite fun.
Yeah, we both have experience watching him do that.
No, he hasn't actually gone crazy at Barca. Like, he didn't throw a shoe at a ref like he did for Atleti against Barca, by the way.
Right, right. Yep.
But it was torture watching him play. It was even more torture for the board to try to find some way to get him out of the club, and he just didn't want to go. We got like 5 deals ready to go, and he just didn't want to go.
You had to pawn him off onto like a Super League team on like, a 2-year loan.
Yeah, and that's good because he's never coming back.
Yeah.
So when the loan's over, his contract is done, so we absolutely don't get him back unless they cancel the loan. So please, guys from the Turkey team that I don't care to know the name, don't cancel the loan. Please don't cancel the loan.
Is Istanbul Basaksehir here? I think that's how you pronounce it. They are currently they're third in the Turkish league, Renato, just 3 points off Galatasaray at the top.
Yeah, and I'm sure Arda Turan is the main reason for that. Just kidding.
Oh my God, their leading scorer is Emmanuel Adebayor.
That tells you why I don't care to know the name of that team.
Oh my God, Clichy plays for them. Clichy's their starting left back.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know that because we sold him from Manchester City. That's true. That's why I remember that.
Wow.
And somehow they're third? Is that the team Wagner Love plays for? No, it's Besiktas. Yeah, it's Besiktas.
No, he plays for Besiktas, yeah.
Yeah, because I love Wagner Love to death. Best name in football. And he's Brazilian.
Yeah, no one else I really know from this team, but yeah, those are, talking about blasts from the past to going down in an Istanbul. Yeah, they are going to qualify for next season's Europa League. They've already clinched that, at the very least.
Oh.
And they could still finish second, get into a Champions League qualifying round.
No, it would be really funny. That you said they're going to the Europa League. If they go, Arsenal will be in the Europa League if Adebayor scores against them.
Hey.
Because that would be very Arsenal, and that's how the Law of the X works. So, you know about the Law of the X, don't you?
Yes.
It was invented in Brazil, a brilliant creation from the Brazilian fans. And it never fails. Every time a prominent player faces his former team, he scores against them. It's how it works. So I'm sure it would happen to Arsenal if Adebayor played for them.
I mean, it's funny you mention that. It happened to Atletico just yesterday against Espanyol. And Leo Baptistão scored against us.
Wait, he played for Atleti?
Yeah, he played for Atleti for about a year. He didn't play much. Simeone didn't like him, so he pawned him off on Rayo. And now
he was good at Rayo. I remember him at Rayo.
He was good at Rayo. And then he went to Villarreal for a little while, and now he's at Espanyol where he's okay. And he scored yesterday. Second goal he's scored like against Atletico since he left.
Yeah.
So that's a Leo Baptista-style revenge game.
Love the X.
Yeah, and that game yesterday sucked.
Yeah.
That stunk.
That was
Atletico.
I watched the YouTube highlights from the La Liga official channel.
Yeah.
And I felt like that was as much as I needed to watch from that game. 90 seconds.
They got 90 seconds of highlights from that game? I don't know how.
It was like 5 replays of each goal.
It was such a bad game.
and I'm going to talk more about it with Rob Walker on our normal Monday pod, but suffice it to say, this was not a very fun game, and Atletico somehow are still in second, thanks to you guys. Yeah, thanks for getting that draw and not letting Madrid beat you, because it keeps Atletico in second.
That is not the reason why we didn't want to lose that game, by the way, but that's why we didn't want to lose, but you're welcome. But that's definitely not what we were thinking at the time.
Well, that's what I was thinking that you were thinking. So I will thank you again for keeping us in mind as you bravely, with 10 men, bravely held on to that draw against Los Blancos.
Yeah, you're welcome, but definitely didn't want to help you at all.
I don't care. You've already won the league. What do you care? You won the damn double. What do you care?
We do care about the thing that we accomplished. We almost accomplished, because there's still three games left, and one of them is Villarreal, which is never easy. But that history is always history. So you got to go for it when you have a chance. So, but man, what a crazy game, huh?
Right? Yeah, that was lots of fun, and I guess refereeing aside, I mean, I guess that it was a really, really open game. Like, no one was very interested in controlling the ball. No one was really interested in defending, except Barca for 10 or 15 minutes, like, before Bale scored. Other than that, there was, like, no one defending in this game whatsoever.
Yeah, I'm not really proud of many of the things that I do, but I was really proud of the title that I came up with for the recap on Barcelona Logranes, which was El Crazico.
Yes.
Okay, did we hit it? Cool. Because that's what it was. It was just a crazy game. It was everything you want from a big rivalry. It was a lot of good goals. Really bad refereeing, because after all, it's a Spanish rivalry. So a lot of good goals, bad refereeing, bad tackles, bad blood, all of it. It was just really fun to watch. And I think what made it so much fun is because the game didn't mean a lot. Like, the only thing that meant that was somewhat meaningful was Barca's unbeaten streak, because Barca wanted to keep it and Real wanted to end it.
Right.
So, but that, if Barca lost yesterday, I wouldn't feel like we deserved the title less just because we lost the first game of the season with three games to go. That loss wouldn't make Barca deserve less if they went undefeated the whole season. So, I'll tell you, it was hard for me to bring myself to watch that game. I wasn't really interested. I only did it because it's my job, to be honest. But then I couldn't keep my eyes off it, because it was so much fun. Because, again, it didn't mean much, and both teams just wanted to go after it and try to win. It was really fun for that reason.
Yeah, your blood pressure still stayed relatively low, despite Hernandez's refereeing recital. You know, one Hernandez just wasn't enough for him.
It had to be both,
and he just had never had any control of the game, which made it more fun. I think the red card was probably fair, if for no other reason than he had to regain control of the match. You know, there were penalty appeals on both ends. It was great, and just tons of yellow cards. It was great.
Yeah, can we discuss the decisions? Because, like, if you think about it, there are two big decisions in favor of both teams. I'll start with Barca. The biggest one is the second goal, because Luis Suarez clearly fouled Varane on the build-up to that messy goal.
Yeah.
So, and there was also a penalty when Jordi Alba kicked Marcelo's leg in the box. That's as clear a penalty as you'll see.
Yeah.
And they missed it. And the two calls in favor of Real Madrid was the Gareth Bale stomp on Umtiti's leg, which is, it's not a red card, it's a triple red card. That's as clear a red card as you see as well.
Yeah.
And there was an onside goal for Barca, which would have made it 3-1. Like 2 minutes after Messi scored, they had a Luis Suarez goal, which was ruled out for Rakitic offside, and he wasn't offside. He was in line with I think Lucas Vazquez or Nacho. I don't remember who was the right back at the time, but it was the Real Madrid right back who played Rakitic onside, and then he played across. The ball fell to Suarez, and he scored, and the goal was disallowed. So if you look at the balance of the bad calls, it was two for each. And the Sergio Roberto red card for me is also a red card, because even though Marcelo sold it pretty well, it looked like Marcelo had been punched in the face by, I don't know, Brock Lesnar or something. And Sergio Roberto just gave him a little shove in the face. That was all that it was. But yeah, it's clear in football, the rule is clear. You cannot touch someone's face. And that's a red card. And that's a clear red card, and it should have been. But I would argue that if Gareth Bale had been sent off 3 minutes earlier, I don't think Sergio Roberto gets sent off, because I don't think Real Madrid would pressure the ball that high with 10 men, which is what led to the red card, because Marcelo pressed Sergio Roberto high up the pitch, gave him a little kick just to wind him up, and Sergio Roberto got angry and did what he did. So I think the biggest decision of all is Gareth Bale, because it completely changes the dynamic of the game. And Zidane would have taken off Ronaldo anyway, because Ronaldo was injured, and probably would have brought on Marco Asensio, but the instructions that Asensio would have had would have been a lot different. He would have been tasked with defending and not being another attacker like he was when he came on at halftime. So a lot of bad decisions, but I think the biggest impact was Gareth Bale. But at the end of the day, a 2-2 draw is deserved because of what we saw on the pitch without any decisions. Like, Barca were really good until they scored. Real Madrid dominated the rest of the first half, and Barca dominated the second half even with 10 men. But Real Madrid got a goal and got better at the end of the game. So it was probably a 2-2 anyway. Even if it was a normally officiated game, it was to me, it would end 2-2 the same way because of the way the game went. So as bad as the calls were, it didn't really affect the game.
Yeah, and in a weird way, I think that's right. It probably still would have been... It wouldn't have lessened the intensity at all. The game probably still would have finished a draw. Most meetings between these two are really high-scoring encounters that are decided in the final minutes. That's mostly how these games go. As bad as some of the calls were, at least they were bad for both teams, and at least it didn't really change what the result was going to be.
Yeah, neither team can claim they were robbed. Because both teams got pretty good calls in their favor. So that's not, there's no robbery. Hernandez was just bad. It wasn't bad for one team. He just sucked, because that's what referees do in Spain. They suck.
But this is the 3-time Spanish referee of the year, Renato.
That's why he sucked. Because to be the referee of the year, you have to be really bad. To the best, they give it to the worst, because that's what they reward. So, I remember they talked about him. I remember he was like the youngest referee ever to officiate at Clásico.
Yeah.
In 2014 or something. And they were talking about him with a lot of potential to maybe change Spanish refereeing, because he came out and he was pretty good. I remember the first few games he officiated in El Clásico, and he was pretty good. I remember, you might have to research this for me, but I think he was the referee in that memorable 4-3 at the Camp Nou,
I was just thinking. I think he was the referee in the 4-3.
Yeah, and that was to me, that was one of the best officiated Clásicos I've ever seen. Like, he got all the calls right. He managed the game very good, very well. And the two penalties Messi scored to win the game were clear penalties. Real Madrid didn't even complain. So that was, I think that was his first Clásico as a referee, and that's when he was the youngest. And he was fantastic. But now, three-time referee of the year because he's bad.
He is a standout referee, and that doesn't necessarily mean he's good, though.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
Standout doesn't mean good.
He's like, you know the BFA player of the year they gave out in England?
And that
went to Mo Salah. He's like the Mo Salah referees, but if Mo Salah was bad.
But if Mo Salah missed like 6-yard sitters every week.
Yes, if Mo Salah instead of 45 goals had 45 misses below the in front of the goal, that's Hernandez, referee of the year. So. And again, I'm not saying about this because I think he made bad calls against us. He made bad calls for us, but he's still bad.
He's still bad.
I'm not complaining about his officiating because he robbed us. No, he helped us a couple times, but he also helped the other team. And he missed a completely clear red card. And oh my God, he was sleeping. Oh, I can't talk anymore.
Yeah, there was just no way that the Bale, quote-unquote, tackle should have gone unpunished. Like, that was a filthy play.
And if Hernandez was far away, I get that. But his assistant, too, was right in front of the play.
Yeah.
And assistants can tell the referee. They are instructed to tell the referee if it's a yellow or a red. They can. They have the freedom to do that. And the assistant also ignored it.
Yeah, the assistant was right there. He was right there.
Because, like, the other official, if you remember, there was an incident where Sergio Ramos elbowed Luis Suarez. And then Messi retaliated for Suarez, which was very weird. I never saw Messi stick up for his boy like that.
Yeah, Messi taking out Ramos was, like, one of the most fun parts of that game. That was so
fun. Yeah, I laughed so hard when that happened.
Yeah, same. It was so awesome. So,
if you look at the play, it's the referee, it's the assistant referee who gives the foul. He signals for the foul, and he probably said to Hernandez, "That's a yellow card." But the referee on the other side saw the Bale incident better than anyone, and he just ignored it. So it's the whole crew there, which was really bad. But of course, the standout is Hernandez, who is so bad he has two last names.
referee of the year, Hernandez.
Yes, that was good. That was good.
Thank you. I do want to take a moment to express my admiration for Ivan Rakitic, though. For me, Rakitic has been the hero of this Barcelona team. He represents this team, I think, more than Messi, I think more than Iniesta, I think more than Ter Stegen, more than Suarez. He represents what this Barca team is more than any of those guys to me.
He's the unsung hero of this season, without a doubt.
Yeah, the kind of player that Valverde has, not that Rakitic was bad before, but Luis Enrique wasn't the kind of manager that he needed. Ernesto Valverde is like the perfect coach for Rakitic. The player he's turned him into is just phenomenal.
He was man of the match by 5 miles yesterday.
Yeah.
Not a mile, 5 miles. It was insane. He was everywhere. I honestly, because of him, I'm telling you, there were times when we're down to 10 men and we scored and we defended pretty well for about 20 minutes. I honestly counted a few times because I wasn't sure we had just 10 men. And it's a lot because of him. Because of how much ground he covered. It was just unbelievable what he played. Unbelievable.
Just the work that he does, and to meld that with like how technically good he is, is just astounding. It's astounding how good he's been this year. Not that he was, not that he was bad before, but he's just been so good this year.
Yep, and I'll use the an Atletico Madrid analogy for the because this is an Atletico Madrid podcast. Once I can always say this, I'm not just saying because Rakitic plays for Barca. Once Saul reaches his peak, he's gonna be Rakitic.
Yeah,
I can maybe probably, he's, I can probably maybe say that. He has a little more potential, but I think a Rakitic is a pretty good ceiling for Saul because both are really similar.
Yeah, they are. They both cover just a ton of ground, box to box. They can both kind of control a game if they need to. Yeah, they both. I totally see that as a comparison. I totally see Saul being like a new Rakitic.
And you know what? Last summer we wanted Barca. Remember I told you Barca needed to sign Verratti, and I still believe that. But I firmly think that we have Busquets and Rakitic now because we've switched formations, and I think Valverde won't switch back to 4-3-3, and he doesn't need to. Because, my God, Rakitic and Busquets is just unstoppable.
Yeah.
The two together, and that as a holding two, it's just impossible. They're so good together. And Rakitic has raised his level so much with Valverde. It's just insane.
Yeah. So, I think we talked about this before. If I had to pick one Barca player, like, that not Messi or Ter Stegen, if I had to pick one Barca player, it would probably be Rakitic to take to Atletico. They can just be perfect.
But I said Koke, and you thought I'd say Saul. And I said Koke because I see him more as of a Barca player than Saul. But you know what? Rakitic is working as a Barca player, so I think I'll take Saul because he's just a left footed Rakitic.
Pretty much.
Can you imagine the two together? Coach by Simeone, oh my lord.
Yeah.
Saul and Rakitic might be the most destructive and technical midfield on earth if they play together. It's just, but I agree with you. Rakitic he's become a monster this season, and he solved the problem in midfield. We had a big problem in midfield, which was ever since Xavi left, we didn't have a partner for Busquets. Now we have.
Yeah, we're now you do. Now you do. So that's not. No. And overall, I'd say it's been a pretty good season, except for the whole thing in Rome. Other than that, it's been a good year.
I just got depressed when you said the world's Rome. Let's move on.
Yeah, we don't have. I won't make you talk about that.
Thank you.
Yeah, I do have some compassion. I won't make you talk about that.
No, you don't.
A little. I have a little.
Yeah, I guess.
A little. Nice guy. You know, I've only made you take like two personality tests.
Yeah.
The last
so,
one.
Yeah, you should have compassion for me, you.
The last one being about, what was it, fruit? Like your spirit vegetable.
I don't even remember.
That was it. The spirit vegetable. That was good content.
Was that carrot or something?
Oh, I don't remember. I have to go back and listen to it.
Oh, it was something I don't even remember. I remember this. It was something I didn't even know. What it was.
Yeah, I actually had to research it. Like, when I was editing the podcast, I actually had to research it and, like, figure out what it was so I could put it in the show description.
Exactly, yeah. So let's talk football, shall we?
Hashtag quality content. But, yeah, good season for Barcelona. Could be a good season for Atletico. I mean, yeah, the Espanyol game on Sunday was just, that was wretched. The first half wasn't that bad. Then the second half, though... Atletico just had nothing. Felipe Luis came back, though. That was probably the best thing about that game, is that Felipe came back, played 65 minutes. Amazingly, after breaking his leg, he's back in 50 days. Like, incredible.
He played 65 gosh darn minutes.
Like, it's just another example of how Simeone's players really aren't human.
Remember the whole joke we had, I think it was last year? It still applies. It's insane.
Yeah.
Yeah, a whole bit about how Atleti players get hurt and that they're back the next game. And Felipe Luis is just another... Like, coming back in 50 days from a broken leg is okay. It's normal. But to play 65 minutes, it's just absurd.
I mean, I thought he was going to play 90. I thought he was going to play the whole game. But Simeone took him off for Gavi.
I thought this should have been a substitute. Like, I saw him, and he was in the squad, I think, the day before. I was like, oh, good. He was going to be back in time for the World Cup. That's what I thought, because I'm Brazilian, obviously.
Obviously.
I was like, it was good. He's going to play, like, 20 minutes. Lucas will probably start at left back, and he's going to play, like, 20 minutes as a substitute, get a nice round of applause and all that. He played 65.
Yeah.
Like, I think because we're a Lefty fan for so long, you've forgotten how insane this sounds.
Like, I'm kind of used to it, but even for like Atletico, this is just so crazy for Felipe to be back as quickly as he was.
No, again, I'm not talking about the return, because that I'm used to. Guys in Atletico can die and they'll be back 3 days later. I'm not impressed with that. I'm impressed with 65 minutes.
Yeah, he didn't get a cameo. No, he started and he played well.
Oh, God. I'm telling you, I don't know.
It's good, though. He's going to be back for the World Cup.
Yeah, that's true.
He's back for the World Cup now.
And it's interesting because it's a big problem for Chichi because he got three really world-class left-backs. You got Marcelo, you got Felipe Luis, and you got Alexandro, who's playing out of his mind at Juventus. So I don't know who Chichi is going to take. I think Felipe might not go. The World Cup was in his mind the whole time.
Oh, yeah. And to recover that fast and then not go, that would be a tragedy. But as you said, he's got Marcelo and he's got Alexandro. They're both younger than him and they're both as good, if not having better seasons.
But I do think Chichi takes Felipe Luis because he likes Felipe Luis as a defender.
Well, he should.
I think he likes Marcelo as the attacking beast that Marcelo is, but he likes to have Felipe Luis as a defensive insurance, just in case. And Alexandro is a lot more of a Marcelo than Felipe Luis. So I think he takes Felipe Luis because Alexandro is just too similar to Marcelo, and he likes to have that variety.
So there you go. Otherwise, last week of the season, and just trying to hang on to second place. You know, to me, this is the thing. Second place is important to me. The symbolism of it, if nothing else, is kind of important. But if Atleti win the Europa League, I'm not going to care as much, and they win the Europa League, they're just going to feel like the B team that last game against Eibar. They just won't care.
Absolutely.
But yeah,
I don't think they should care.
Yeah, especially with the new rules. What's the difference between second and third? I mean, but yeah. Atletico have been second for more than half the year. They've been in second place since November.
Would you rather be second in La Liga or in the Europa League?
Yeah, I'd rather win Europa League than be second in the league. If Atletico win Europa League, I'll take third place.
Exactly.
But yeah, Bjorn Kuipers is refereeing, so it's no longer a guarantee. Not that it ever was a guarantee, but the prospects just got hairier.
Yeah, that's true. So
how is Bjorn Kuipers going to take it away from Atletico this time? 7 minutes of extra time? 10 yellow cards?
My God, 7 minutes of extra time was just the most ridiculous decision. Yeah.
How is he going to do it? How's he going to do it this time? We don't know. We'll have to find out. We'll take bets on it, though.
Was it 5 in 2014?
It was 5 minutes. It should have been about 3. If he had refereed it fairly, Atletico got 8 yellow cards, I think, in the second half alone. There would have been about 2 or 3 minutes of extra time. But no, he couldn't do that. Ramos' goal came at 92-48. And it's very possible that goal never would have been scored if it were 3 minutes of extra time. 2 minutes of extra time obviously would not have been scored. But if it had been 3 minutes of extra time, I think Atletico would have held on. Yeah, that final hurts more than in 2016. Because the 2016 final, Atletico just weren't quite good enough in that one game.
No, it was a horrible game.
Yeah.
It was one of the worst Champions League finals I can remember. It was just a terrible game.
Last year's, especially in the second half, wasn't that good. Had a lot of goals, though.
Yeah, 2016 was just a bad game. Bad in every sense of the word.
Yeah, it wasn't really a great game. Especially like the last 30 to 40 minutes of it just really weren't good. Atletico just weren't good enough on the day. 2014, though, they were good enough the entire 90 minutes. I think they deserved to win that one more than they did the one 2 years ago.
Yeah, and I'm a believer that If Atleti didn't win in 2014, they're not going to win ever again. I'm sorry to say that, because 2014 was the team. That was, to me, the most talented team. It wasn't the most talented team, but it was so perfectly organized. The chemistry was just perfect. Everybody loved each other. And even with the Diego Costa injury, you guys were the best team in the game. But if it didn't happen then, I'm sorry. I don't think you get to be as perfect of a team as you were then.
I think the 2016 team was more talented. I mean, this year's team probably has more talent than the one 4 years ago, but that team won La Liga, and that team should have won the Champions League.
That was a team. With a real capital T.
That team had all the...
It wasn't a collection of talent. That was a real team.
Yeah. It had all the chemistry that you would need. It had all the organization. It was Simeone's first really, really good team.
Guys were ready to die for each other in that team.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't think you get... It's like you got the best out of Turani possible. You got the first real good season of Koke. The best Gabi you ever had. Diego Costa was just a monster. Whoever his partner was always pretty good.
It was Villa that season.
Yeah. Yep. And sometimes you had Adrian Lopez, I think, too.
Adrian, yep. He scored the goal at Stamford Bridge.
Godin was the best Godin I've ever seen. He's had a great career, but 2014 Godin is the best Godin ever.
And Miranda, too.
Miranda, too, was great. It was still Courtois, right?
Yep.
In the first real season of the Courtois we know now. So... Juanfran was peak Juanfran. I think that was the team, man. I'm sorry, but I think that was the team.
Oh, I think it's still the best team. Yeah, as you said, capital T is the Simeone's assembled. This team has more talent than that team had. I believe that.
Thiago, man, how good was Thiago?
Yeah, Thiago was everything to that team. That was probably Gabby's best season as well.
Thiago and Gabi. That's the first thing I remember from that team was Thiago and Gabi.
Thiago was incredible. That was when Arda actually cared and was actually good.
Yeah. Thiago and Gabi in 2014 was your version of Busquets Rakitic this season.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. Because you had Thiago basically dictating the pace, always on the ball, Gabi doing all the work next to him, like Rakitic does.
Yeah.
Good times. Good times, man.
That ended very, very, very badly.
Yeah. It's a nice trip down memory lane before you get to that final. Really nice trip.
Yeah, I really like that season. I really like watching Atleti that season. Even though it was bad to watch at times. Like, the first leg of that semifinal against Chelsea is probably the worst 90 minutes of football I've ever watched in my life.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that first leg was abysmal. The second leg was just incredibly fun.
Because Simeone didn't know any better, because, like, this Simeone's teams now can attack a little bit. Not a little bit, they can attack very well. But that Simeone was all he knew at that time, especially with that team. And Mourinho was just peak Mourinho in terms of, like, negative and negative and negative and negative.
Yeah, shithousery. He shithoused.
But the second leg, like, he played pretty much the perfect game, too. So
especially after going behind.
Yeah. The goal, I still remember, is pretty, pretty awesome finish. So it was Arda who had a pretty, I think it was a volley, right?
Oh, yeah, Arda scored the third goal. Adrian scored the first one.
Yeah, I remember the Arda volley that ended it all. Okay. I still remember that one.
Yeah, that was Arda's goal. And then Costa had the penalty.
Did Diego Costa score a pen in that game?
Yeah, he scored the penalty. It was Eto'o who cut him down in the box, and then Costa stepped up and took the penalty.
Yeah, my memory is good today. Yeah, like I said, I think that was the best team Simeone ever put together. And I think he's just trying to recreate that team ever since it got dismantled.
And it's tough. It's really tough to do, especially with we do have more resources now. Still not one of the giant clubs, but have more resources. They have an awesome stadium. It's different. it's tough to recapture that.
Remember, I had the discussion that if Simeone is still the right guy to really evolve this team. Remember, we had that discussion, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what I mean. Like, I think he's honestly trying to recreate that 2014 team instead of trying to just create a new one. And because as much attacking of evolution as this team, as his teams have had over the years, he still wants to go back to being that 2014 team. And that's pretty much what we saw against Arsenal in the semifinal. I saw a lot of the 2014 team, especially when they went down to 10 men in the first leg. There was a lot of 2014 there. It was emergency, it was desperation. You had 10 men, but there was a lot of 2014 there in that first leg.
Oh, yeah.
And I still think that when it comes to the big games, Simeone goes back to 2014, and I don't think he will ever have that because football has evolved. And even though it was only 4 years ago, 4 years is a lot.
And even, I was actually thinking about this the other day. I was reading a Michael Cox article for ESPN about how, you know, all the top teams in Europe are just committing more and more resources to attacking. Like, I mean, you saw the goals in the Champions League semifinal. You know, how many goals there were between Liverpool and Roma and Bayern and Real Madrid. And how, as everyone has gone more and more attacking, Simeone has kind of gone more and more defensive in response, especially this season, without the kind of depth that he wanted. He's gone more and more defensive and kind of not only just back to the 2014 tactics, but he's taken it even a step further at times, being really negative and really not wanting possession.
Yeah, was it, please let me refresh my memory, because I can't remember, was it 16-17 when he started really attacking? Or was it 15-16? Because I remember those again when it was he had Griezmann, Gamero, Correa, and Carrasco all together as a front four.
That was last year, yeah.
Yeah, it was a real front four. It wasn't a 4-4-2. It was a 4-2-4 that he played. And his team scored a lot of goals, but they started to concede, and then it just gave up and went back to normal Cholo stuff.
Yeah, then he just stopped doing it.
Yeah, and it was like a 2 month experiment, and as soon as he started conceding, he gave up on it.
Yeah.
So that's why I have this discussion all the time. I just don't think he's, if Atleti really want to beat Barcelona and Real Madrid in terms of size, it's not really just about the finances. It's about your style of play. And how you win games, because you can only defend so much. If you defend for 90 minutes, it's hard not to concede. You might do it quite a few times because you're really good at defending, but at some point, man, you got to score more goals than the other team.
Yeah, Atletico only scored 55 goals this season. Barca have 89, Madrid have 84. Like, yeah. That's a pretty huge drop-off.
And Barca didn't attack this season as much as they did.
Right. We're used to seeing Barca with 110 goals. They're not even going to get to 100 this year.
Exactly. Under Luis Enrique, they were just a juggernaut.
Yeah.
Under Luis Enrique. And Valverde has cut that down a little bit, but they're still scoring 90 goals.
Hey, last year, you guys scored 116 goals.
Exactly. But we weren't good enough defensively, so Valverde took away a little bit of the goals and established more of a stronger defense, but we still scored 90 anyway, so because we have just absurd talent. But Atleti also have pretty good talent, certainly more talented than 55 goals. But I don't think, again, I'm always very careful when I talk about Simeone because I respect him a lot. But I just don't think he's comfortable with unleashing that talent to score 70, 80 goals.
I think when...
That's a problem.
I've said this before. I think this summer is going to be a big one. I think when Atleti bring in a player like Rodri from Villarreal, he could really free up this attack. Rodri is basically like a new Busquets. You bring in Rodri, you free Koke and Saul. You and that by extension, that frees everyone else. So that's the signing I'm really, really excited about. Because you bring in Rodri and just everything changes.
Yeah. But, I mean, you're not going to have Griezmann, so you're going to have to rely on Costa, right?
Hey, yeah. You know, who knows what's going to happen with Griezmann? Who knows?
Well, when Luis Suarez is welcoming Griezmann to Barcelona, you know it's done. Because Suarez doesn't talk a lot. But when he's welcoming Griezmann, come on.
He basically started the social media campaign, but I was reading that, you know, Suarez didn't speak in the conditional tense. He was just saying, oh, I hope it happens. I wish it would happen.
No. I listened to the interview. It was in Spanish because it was a Uruguayan radio, and I'm not Spanish, but I can still understand it pretty well. He said, when Barca are able to bring players like Griezmann, it really makes us better. That's what he said. So, I mean, come on.
I hope he has fun buying Griezmann in FIFA. It doesn't make sense. Barca. Griezmann going to Barca does not make sense. It doesn't. Where is he going to play?
Yeah, I'm still struggling with it, but
it doesn't make sense unless Griezmann just wants to sell himself out for trophies, which, you know, maybe he does. I'm not in his head. I don't know. But where is he going to play? What is it going to mean for Dembele? What is it going to mean for Coutinho's the Iniesta replacement? So that doesn't bother him. What's it going to mean for Dembele? And, you know, their depth. You're going to have to sell half the squad to finance this. And Dembele's going to have to go somewhere on loan.
No.
You're going to sell Dennis Suarez anyway. You're probably going to sell Alcacer anyway.
No, Dennis Suarez, I think, is staying. We're going to sell Andre Gomes.
You want to do that forever. Yeah, Andre Gomes is going to go.
So, if Griezmann comes, Dembele is definitely being loaned out. He's not going to be sold. Bartomeu just made it clear today that he's not going to be sold, but he didn't rule out a loan, so I think a loan is happening. And if Griezmann comes, it's just going to play on the right. It's going to play on the right wing. It's going to be Griezmann, Rakitic, Busquets, and Coutinho in midfield with Messi and Suarez up front. But you have to remember that Suarez is about to be 32, so you could very well see situations before, like, say, Champions League games when it's just Messi and Griezmann up front and Suarez on the bench. Especially if Falcao is sold. Then you have Griezmann, Messi, and Suarez to rotate in the two front positions. And that's not a bad rotation to have. And because Messi and Suarez are over 30, they could be more open to a bench role in a few games, especially if they know that they have a guy like Griezmann to play in their place. And that's probably going to do pretty well. So I think there's a little bit of depth to it. A big reason why we lost to Roma in the second leg was because of depth. Because Valverde had to play a pretty strong team against Leganés because we just didn't have enough. There were a lot of injuries, and the guys who could have played were in just terrible form. So we had to play a strong team against Leganés, and then the team was clearly tired in the second half against Roma and didn't have enough for a comeback. So I think Griezmann's hand is about a little bit more than just boosting the attack. It's just about depth, really, because Paco Alcácer really hasn't turned himself into what we thought he could be. So if you have Luis Suarez in the Paco Alcácer role in a few games, that's a big improvement.
So what you're saying is this is all Paco Alcacer's fault, is what you're saying.
No, that's not that. Poor Paco, I like him.
He was never a Barcelona striker. Never was.
He's solid, but you can't have solid at Barca when you're backing up Luis Suarez.
No. So if I will allow this to happen if you give me Dembele on loan with an option to buy.
No option, just a loan.
It's a 2-year loan with like an 80 million option to buy. I'll do that.
Okay, 1 year loan with a 140 million option to buy. How's that sound?
No, it's 2-year loan option to buy for Dembele. Final offer.
The best negotiator is the one who's in a position of strength. I've already got Griezmann. It's not a condition. He wants to come. He's already coming. You can have 1 year of Dembele, or you can have 1 year of Quaring. What do you want?
You are a tough negotiator.
I learned that the best negotiation is done from a position of strength. So that's what I'm offering.
I am in the position of strength.
No, you're not. You're in a position of crying because you don't have Griezmann. And you're just desperately trying to get Dembele for 2 years when you know you're not going to get
it. I'm laughing to stop myself from crying.
Yeah.
But I will take Dembele on the loan though. I will do that. And then maybe he'll like it so much he'll wanna sign permanently.
You really think Dembele is gonna like playing for Simeone? Dembele is not the guy who's gonna love tracking back 80 yards every game on yeah. the right.
Yes. Simeone might kill him by February.
Dembele goes to Atleti, he could be another Carrasco in 6 months.
Yeah, he really could. Still, I'll take him.
Because
he's not Carrasco.
Is if you play him alongside Costa, so he doesn't have to track back that much. But if he's playing on the wing, forget it. It's going to be Carrasco and Gaetan for you. He's more talented than the two, but the system broke them, and it's going to break their belly. I'm telling you. That's one of the reasons why he hasn't done that well at Barca, because Barca played 4-4-2, and he has to play on the wing. It's not like he's playing on the wing of a 4-3-3.
I mean, you could play him in a 4-3-3, have Costa in the middle, and then Dembele on one side, Correa on the other. Boom. Boom. All right, I'll take Dembele one year loan. He'll like it so much, he'll want to sign permanently.
You sound so delusional.
Bank on it. Bank on it.
All right.
It's happening.
Banking on it, definitely.
Plus, Dembele would like the opportunity to play in a European final, which Barcelona aren't doing. Haven't done in a while, have they?
Dembele will go next season. How do you know Atleti will be in a European final next season?
Because we're hosting the damn final.
Then this season, the Europa League.
Still European final. It's one more than Barca are in.
Europa League.
It don't matter. I am proud to own the Europa League.
Oh yeah.
You know, if you think about it, Diego Simeone is a genius for this. He tanked in the Champions League so that he wouldn't have to go up against Real Madrid again. It's really smart. It's like next level managing.
Sure. Make him an NBA GM.
Oh yeah. This was a tank. This was like, you know, the Suns or anyone else tanking. You know, this is like tanking to not play Real Madrid. It's perfect.
Yeah, I guess.
Because you know they would have beaten Monaco again.
So hope it doesn't go to penalties against Marseille.
Oh, let's hope not.
I'm telling you, if it goes to a penalty, I'm putting all my money on Marseille.
I'm sure you are.
If you really want to. Like, you're gonna root for Atleti, so you're not going to put that much money on it, so you don't lose that much, just in case. But you're going to put a little money on Marseille if it goes to penalties, and you know it.
No.
That's my answer.
No, I didn't answer.
So that's my answer. You don't need to.
I don't need to answer you. You're not my supervisor.
All right.
Tell me what's in your playlist before I let you go.
Still Hamilton, man. Still Hamilton.
Stay Hamilton? Good.
I can't stop listening to it.
I hear you. I hear that.
It's addictive. It's so good. Right now, there's one song that I can't stop listening to from the Hamilton soundtrack. It's One Last Time.
Oh, that's a good one.
When George Washington decides to step down and yes. established a two-term presidency, and that song is just amazing.
I think for me, the King George numbers are my favorite.
Yeah, I love those too.
I love the King George numbers.
My favorite is exactly the one after One Last Time, when he just can't believe George Washington stepped down.
It's John Adams. Like, I know him.
There's the little guy who spoke to me. But my favorite part on the number from the King after One Last Time He says, they say George Washington's using his power and stepping away. Is that true? I wasn't aware there was something a person could do. I can't stop laughing. It's just because, I mean, he's a king, obviously. So, oh, man. I can't go to my friends here in Brazil and go, hey, you should listen to Hamilton. What's this? Oh, it's a Broadway musical about the founding fathers of the United States. They don't care about that.
You're the only one who cares about it.
The only person in my inner circle who cares about the founding fathers of the United States. So it's really hard to find friends in Brazil who like Hamilton. So I'm currently on the lookout. And I know I'm not going to ask any of the Coach and Our Chat viewers, because what are the odds that one of the Coach and Our Chat listeners is a Brazilian person who happens to like Hamilton?
I'm going to say the odds are low, but never give up. Never stop looking.
I'm not throwing away my shot on that, my
there,
man.
There you go. There you go.
I was watching WWE Backlash last night, because I'm a WWE fan too. And my God, what an awful show. It was just awful. But anyway, there was one Hamilton reference there that I just loved. I'm always looking for those little Hamilton nuggets these days, because I'm just obsessed with it.
Yes. I haven't listened to the soundtrack in a minute, though. I have to go back to listening to it now. I'm young, scrappy, and hungry.
Best 2 hours of your life. Anytime you listen to that, best 2 hours of your life. Oh, by the way, you know that song One Last Time? There's a video on YouTube of them performing it at the White House in like last few weeks of Obama's term. So it's really like they were singing like it was Obama saying One Last Time. It was Obama. They sang that song for Obama, and the whole room is crying at the end. It's insane. So you should watch that too.
I think I saw the still photos of it. I know it exists still. I have to go watch that. Okay, last question. Who you got winning the NBA Finals?
Oh, man, I haven't thought that far. You know I've watched every playoff game so far, right? You know how big of an NBA fan I am.
I know.
It was a goal of mine, because I never did it. I was like, I'm going to watch every playoff game. And it's been a lot of fun. I haven't thought that far, because I'm kind of in the moment. Because, again, I'm watching every game, so I'm kind of processing everything I watch. I do have Cavs Warriors again in the finals.
Mm.
Because, I mean, the Cavs are sweeping the Raptors, and the Celtics just won't have enough. Surely Brad Stevens won't find a way to beat LeBron. Like, if Brad Stevens beats LeBron in the Eastern Conference Finals without Kyrie and Hayward, just make him president already.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just say to the other guy, sorry, man. I know you're trying hard, but we got Brad Stevens here, so it's got to be him. Because the dude is insane, but I just don't think he can beat LeBron. I just don't. And then the Warriors will beat the Rockets, because the Warriors have officially flipped the switch and are looking just spectacular. They just abused New Orleans on Sunday.
Oh, they did. Yeah, that was from the beginning. That was just a thrashing. They just throttled them. Because Kerr put out his best lineup.
And I always think that Steve Kerr is too stubborn. You don't have to start a center, man.
Just start Draymond Green at center, and you'll be good.
He wants to start a center because the depth lineup has a problem with rebounding. But they're going to go up by 50 at halftime, so you don't have to worry about rebounding. The other team can rebound the rest of the second half. They're going to cut the lead to like 32 or something.
Right.
So you don't have to worry about rebounding, because they just destroyed the other team with, you know, baskets. So just play the death lineup all the time. Just forget about the center. If your center isn't Joel Embiid, don't play a center. You don't need one. Because Draymond Green can defend even Joel Embiid.
Yeah, he can defend. He can defend anyone. The job he's done on Davis in this series has been really good.
It's just insane. You know, and Kevin Durant finally decided that he's Kevin Durant. He was incredible in the one. So I don't think the Rockets are good enough, especially because it's gonna be Chris Paul's first conference finals. And I just even though Chris Paul is a Hall of Famer, it's just uncharted territory for him. James Harden, I never trust James Harden in big decisive games.
Never trust James Harden.
I'm sorry, I just don't. If it's a big game, I just don't trust. He's gonna give you the numbers because he always gives you the numbers, but the big plays and big moments, I don't think he's got it yet, especially against the Warriors. So I have Warriors caps, and then I think it just goes like last year's finals. Kevin Durant is just too good for the Cavs. So I guess I have the Warriors winning it again. But again, it's the first time I've really thought about it, so maybe my thought changes if I think some more. But right now, it's Warriors.
All right, Renato, we will leave it there. Another great episode of Baronato. Oh,
this was fun.
Thanks for coming on, man, as ever. You can follow Renato on Twitter, where he is almost as entertaining as he is on the podcast, at RenatoDSG. That's RenatoDSG. You can follow me on Twitter at JBBaron. You can follow Barca Blaugranas at Blaugranas Barca. Follow Into the Calderon at Into the Calderon. Like ITC on Facebook at facebook.com/IntoTheCalderon. Subscribe and listen to all new and archived episodes of Colts Narrow Chat on your favorite podcasting platform. Leave us a rating and a review on Apple Podcasts. Really helps the show out. We will be back next week. Until then, adios.